Guys, this morning we're going to be reading from the book of Colossians. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. Chapter 3 in Colossians, verses 14 through 25. Colossians 3, verses 14 through 25. Verse 14 reads like this. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of the heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Be he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. Pray with me, won't you? Father God, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the fathers that are here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for our fathers. We pray a special blessing this morning on all the men here in this body. We pray, Lord, that each one of us would find ourselves where you would purpose us to be. Lord, we all come from different places. We all have different ideas. We're all very different in personality and makeup. But Lord, we are the same in you. We are one in Christ. We thank you most of all for that, that you saw fit to give yourself for each one of us. Lord, fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers, each one of us here today, Lord, you died in our place that we might go free. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. And Lord, we understand that they're just words, that we can't fully comprehend what you've done for us. Lord, we stand amazed by your grace this morning. We look to you this morning to have your way in this service, to speak to our hearts as you see fit. And Lord, we pray that it would be so. We pray that you would be lifted up, that we might see and understand your gospel more clearly. Lord, we pray that the truth of your gospel would be applied to our lives and that we in turn would go out into a world and shine forth a light in a very dark place. Lord, we pray all this be so. We pray, Lord, for each individual that's here, all the activities that are taking place today, that you would be seen in them. And Lord, if there's anyone here today finds themselves outside of your grace for whatever reason, Lord, we are all in need of your grace. We pray, Lord, that something would be said in song or in word or, Lord, in prayer that would touch their hearts. That would be a tool that your spirit could use to cause them to have eyes to see and a heart and a mind to understand. Lord, it's for this reason, that purpose that we're here. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone knows how I like to share history on the holidays. Well, today we're going to have a video. You don't have to sit and listen to me talk. For a little while, you can watch this video, and it will enlighten us about the history of Father's Day. There's your history on Father's Day. You don't get to have to hear me talk about it, but I would like to share a few perspectives on fatherhood, though. Mark Twain said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he'd learned in only 7 years. Harmon Killebrew said, "One time my father was playing with my brother and I in the yard, and our mother came out of the house and said, 'You're tearing up the grass.' To which our father replied, 'We're not raising grass, mother, we're raising boys.'" And Bill Cosby said, "Fatherhood is pretending the present you love most is soap on a rope." Finally, a few more from anonymous sources. The most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. A man's children and his garden both reflect the amount of weeding done during the growing season. A father is a guy who has snapshots in his wallet where his money used to be. Small boys become big men through the influence of big men who care about small boys. And last but not least, the greatest gift I ever had came from God. I call him Dad. Happy Father's Day, guys. Want to hear something that make you really proud of your pastor? Something I discovered along the way? God made men and women different. Told you you'd be proud. We got some lights dimmed over there. Seriously, more than just our physical appearance, God has created and designed men and women so that they are, when they are, as they should be, which is His, they will complement and even complete each other, won't they? Before we move on, let me also throw out a disclaimer. I think I probably do it every Mother's or Father's Day. I'm not suggesting that a man or a woman cannot raise a family on their own, because I believe God has designed us to be also adjustable. He's made us adjustable. When push comes to shove, we can make do, fulfilling both the roles of mother or father, either a dad or a mom, either one. Just like William Jackson Smart, the gentleman we just saw, that was very instrumental in the birth of Father's Day. He had to raise his children on his own. And I believe God has made us that way purposely too. I think that we both have roles, men and women, in the family. And when they are as God has purposed it to be, and we have to start with it being His, we have to belong to Him before we can be what He has purposed us to be. I'm going through puberty. When He has purposed us to be, we have to be His first. But I also believe with all my heart that He can make those changes and make us flexible enough that we can fill both roles when necessary. We've all seen it happen many, many times, haven't we? But moms and dads are different. They are different, aren't they? Relationships they have with their children are different too. I've probably shared this in just about every Mother's or Father's Day's message as well. But say little Jeff or Samantha fall from a tree. Say they pick up a firework before it's went out all the way and it burns their hand and leaves a blister that looks like a biscuit sitting in their hand. Or say, I don't know, say they ruined their car because they didn't stop when the warning light came on. Or maybe any hundred of other things that may or may not have ever happened. Mom, she's running to pick them up. She's making certain, and she's only worried that they're okay. That's mom's first instinct. Dad, he's already assessed the situation from a distance, mind you, and he's probably already beginning to scold little Jeff or Samantha because he's warned them a dozen times not to do that. Guys, can I share a little experiential advice here? It's not always wise to go with your gut instinct in these situations. Now, I'm not saying that every dad was made from the same mold that I was made from, or that I react that way every time, or even that I react that way anymore. In fact, I've noticed since I became a grandpa that when they fall now, I'm racing mom and grandma to get them to make sure they're okay. So I guess I'm getting, or maybe I've gotten soft. I'm not really sure. But as I said earlier, I'm also not saying that in the case of one-parent families, a man or a woman can't take the place of both. because I believe they can, because I've seen it happen myself. I'm also saying it because partially I don't want to start or be involved in a war between the genders, because my mom raised me to respect women, but mostly because she raised me not to be a fool. And I have learned something, a little something along the way, living in a house full of women for 30 plus years. I'd love to tell you the difference between the genders and the reason we react differently to certain situations is rooted in men's ability or in a man's ability to be practical. I'd love to tell you that's the way, that's the reason we are the way we are, is because we're practical. But all the ladies here this morning would just laugh at me. You know, Betty's not here this morning, or she would have laughed when I said that. But seriously, I do believe it's the instincts that God Himself has designed into us. I really believe that. Which do cause men and women to react differently in certain situations. Because God has purposed us to be certain ways. That the family unit might be protected and get everything that it needs. I believe God has purposed moms to nurture. That's mom's job. That's the relationship mom has with her children when it is as God has purposed it to be. And I believe that God has purposed dad to protect, because that's the job that he's given us. I believe that's why dad gets so upset when little Jeff or Samantha mess up, because he feels like he's failed at his responsibility. I know that's how I felt when my kids were little. When something happened to them, I felt like I had let them down. I still feel that way sometimes today. I've tried this once before and it worked pretty well, so let's try it again. Before I go on to the next point, would all the ladies in the congregation do me a favor and say, "Aww." Thank you. Here's the point. I don't think today's dads are being given a fair shake. Before you ladies say "Aww" one more time, let me share how PhD Patrick Morley, founder, chairman, and CEO of Man in the Mirror Ministries, let me share how he defines Mother's and Father's Day. And I think if we'd stop and think, we'd all kind of agree with him. Mother's Day, he says it's a noun, and it's also a day devoted to honoring mom. That's what Mother's Day is. Father's Day, he says, is a noun also, and he says it's a day to beat up men for not doing a better job. I'll stop and think about it for a minute. We all kind of feel that way a little bit, don't we? We really do. And guys, if I had to, I'd confess that maybe I've done that before myself on Father's Day. Being a dad, I understand it. I'm responsible. We're responsible. When we don't do a good job, or when our children, when something goes wrong with them, when anything goes wrong in our family, we feel responsible, don't we? That is because that's the way God has designed us. He's designed us to be responsible. He's designed us to be the head of the family unit. That's probably a whole different sermon than the one I have today, but that is a good sermon. We are designed that way. That is the way He intends for us to be. In my defense about beating guys up, I do think it originates from that same instinctive mindset that men are in charge, and therefore we are responsible for almost everything that goes wrong in the world. Because if something's going or has gone wrong, who should get the blame? Or who does get the blame? Well, unless you happen to be the president of one of the most powerful nations in modern history, unless you happen to be that guy, it's usually the guy that's in charge, isn't it? The guy that's in charge. The buck usually stops there, doesn't it? And I can tell you from almost 30 years of supervision, it is the guy in charge. When the people below me messed up, it fell on me. When the people above me messed up, it fell on me. The guy in charge is who it falls on. He's the one responsible. And other than the office of our current president, that's always true. Enough politics. I've had enough fun at his expense. Let me back up a little bit and see if I can make this a little easier for all of us. I really don't think that moms are being given a fair shake today either. I really don't. I think something has happened to our family unit. And it's not good. The society we live in doesn't honor the family the way it did 25 years ago. There isn't the same emphasis on family that there was 25 years ago. There isn't the same emphasis on morals as there was 25 years ago. In fact, if the next 25 years of the Lord tarries happen the way the last did, morals would be a word nobody understands, that nobody would be able to define. The good guy will be gone. The heroes are no longer good guys. Everything has changed. And whether we understand it or accept it or not, it has affected our families in our society. I'll share a few statistics and comments pertaining to families in our current society. They're from different sources, James Dobson, the Focus on the Family, the Barna Group, and even the Census Bureau. First one is that harried, stress-filled, financially strapped lifestyles are the primary reason for the breakdown of the family in our society. Going out after things. Getting so involved in things that they take the place of everything else. Not surprisingly, 76.2% of widowed, divorced, or separated mothers with children under six were employed back 2001. Probably changed by now. Surprisingly, however, 62.5% of mothers with children under six and a husband present were also employed, a 58% increase since 1970. More moms are working, 58% more moms since 1970. And 77 or almost 78% of mothers with children 6 to 17 and a husband present were also employed. We are busily making one of the proudest social achievements in the 19th century, which was to take married women, mom, out of the workforce so they could devote themselves to family and children. We're unmaking that. We're destroying it. Changes in the family over the last three decades also include a tendency to marry later or not at all, increased divorce, an increase in children born out of wedlock, a decrease in households composed of families, a decrease in family households of two parents with children, an increase in children spending part of their childhood in a single parent household, and an increase in multiple changes for children's living arrangements. It's no longer the case that a child born today can expect to live with his or her childhood. It's no longer the case that a child born today can expect to live his or her childhood with both biological parents, because about 40% of first marriages end in divorce, and more than 1 million children are part of divorce decrees each year. George Barna states, there no longer seems to be a stigma attached to divorce. It is now seen as an unavoidable rite of passage. Interviews with young adults suggest that they want their initial marriage to last, but are not particularly optimistic about the possibility that it will. There's also evidence that many young people, and I'd never heard this before, I don't think, are moving toward embracing the idea of serial marriages. Never heard of that. In which a person gets married two or three times, seeking a different partner for different phases of their adult life. Maybe the most alarming statistic of all for me, Christians are divorcing as often as non-Christians. It's 33 versus 34%. So what's a father to do? It's a tough time to be a dad or mom, isn't it? Is it our fault? It sure feels like it sometimes, doesn't it? A guy told me a long, long time ago, Didn't know how wise he was. He said, little kids, little problems. Big kids, big problems. I tell you, even though they're grown, it still hurts when things happen. Still responsible. Guess I'll be a dad until I go home. But when things mess up, I still feel responsible. Still feel like it's my fault sometimes. Here's the real question. Can we make a difference? Can we make a difference as fathers? I gotta admit to you, it sure doesn't feel like it sometimes. Sure doesn't. What did Paul say here about it in Colossians? Let's look at Colossians 3, 18 through 21 again. Paul said, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the, in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Before I go on, this is kind of proof positive, that responsible thing for us guys. We talk about wives, we talk about husbands, we talk about children. We'll talk about mom there, but we talk about fathers. Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Guys, are we down with that? Are we good with that? What Paul's saying here in Colossians? I mean, if you want to slant it a little bit and look at it a little differently, wives, if you'll submit to us, then we'll love you. He said, submit to your own husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Wives, if you'll submit to us, then we'll love you and not be bitter toward you. Kids, if you'll obey us, then we'll be careful not to provoke or discourage you. You know there's a kicker coming, don't you? That's why it's so important to study to show ourselves approved. That's why it's so important to stay in context and to follow the whole counsel of God's word. Look at Colossians 3, 14 through 25 one more time. Paul says, but above all these things, put on love. You know, love is the answer to all the world's problems. It really is. Found in the person of Jesus Christ. Because that's the only true love that exists. It's the love that God has for us. Paul says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We can be perfect. We can be perfect in love. Goes on to say, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sounds like church, doesn't it? I think maybe we're supposed to go there. Whatever you do in word or in deed, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the, in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. You want to apply that to our society? Work. When you're doing your job, do what you're supposed to do at your job. And understand, the job's not there for you, but you're there for the job. That's that 30 years of supervisor. Whatever you do, do it heartedly, as to the Lord and not to men. That could apply to your job too. Should apply to every aspect of our lives. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. I wonder if we wouldn't look at things differently if we fully understood that one day we'll all stand and give account for everything we've done. I wonder if we wouldn't do things different than what we do. You think many times we just do things out of instinct and we do things without thinking? Now I'm talking about Christians. Are we ever guilty of that? We can be perfect like Christ, through Christ, and in love. We can be. So, Christian Father, what can we do? What can we do as Christian fathers? Lord knows we want to, don't we? We want it to be right. We want our kids, first and foremost, to know Christ. We want to spend eternity with Christ, but we want our families to be there, don't we? Want that more than anything else I can think of. What can we do as Christian fathers? One more perspective or quote. Clarence Buddington Keelan, the self-described best second-rate writer in America in his day. I think that was a little tongue-in-cheek. He gives us one more perspective about fatherhood, or his father. And speaking of his father, he said, "He didn't tell me how to live. He lived, and he let me watch him do it." That's what we can do, Christian fathers. I've said it many times that God doesn't have grandchildren. God only has children. The truth is, and sometimes I don't seem to have too much influence on it, sometimes I surprise myself with my thoughts and my actions, but the truth is, I am only responsible for my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only one I can work on. But if I'll work on that one, and if I'll be found dependent upon Him, leaning upon Him, looking to Him, I can also have an influence on those around me. My family, my wife, my children, those people I work with, those people I rub elbows with every day, the restaurant here in town, in Cape, all those people. If I will be who Christ has purposed me to be, I can have an influence on them. Look again, this time at verses 14, 15, 17, 23, and 24. Verse 14, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." I can only be perfect in Christ. I can only do all these things that Paul's giving me here, these directions that he's given me. I can only do these things in Christ. Because I can witness to you that if I'm not in Christ, I can mess it up as bad, as good as anybody. I can make a mess of anything. But in Christ, I can be perfect. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Sometimes I think the hardest thing I have is being thankful. There's always something out there on the other side of the fence that looks a little bit shinier than the one I got. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You know what? If whatever you're doing in word or deed is in the name of Jesus Christ, you are giving thanks to God the Father. If you're living a life that's dependent and submitted and leaning upon Jesus Christ, you're praising God with every action that you do. "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." You ever have a job that you just hate? I have. I had one. I worked there for 5 years, and it was really like I spent 5 years in prison. Every day I checked in, every night I checked out. I hated it. But you know what? The Lord used that job that I hated to get my attention. And it had about as much to do with anything as me coming to Him. After I came to Him, I didn't hate it so much. Nothing had changed. The job still stunk. The boss was still mean. The work was still hard. It was literally the hardest place I'd ever worked. I've shared many tales about the gentleman that I worked for. He's long gone now, but he was a wonderful little man of Jewish, German Jewish descent. With everything that implies, he would squeeze a penny and get a dime out of it. He paid well, but boy, he held your nose. I mean, you worked for it. But when I came to Christ and I started doing it as though I were doing it to Him, it wasn't hard at all. I'd put in my time, and as soon as it was time for break, well, not break, we didn't get breaks, 20-minute lunch, 10-hour day with a 20-minute lunch. But I'd find me a place back in the warehouse with that little New Testament that Bob Porter gave to me, and it wasn't hard at all. It really wasn't. It wasn't bad at all after that. It'd be wonderful to live our whole life that way, wouldn't it? Just as though we were doing it for the Lord. It's what He calls us to do. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Do you worry about your kids, Dad? Do you worry about your grandkids, Grandpa? Do you worry about yours as much as I do mine? A life lived in submission and dependence, surrendered, surrounded in the love of Christ in front of them is the best inheritance that we can give them. It is. That's the best. If we can give them that, then we've given them all that we can. You know, I'm thankful for all the differences that there are between us in gender and as individuals in race and in creeds. I'm even thankful for the differences there are between us in perspective and understanding. I think it'd be safe to say God must have known what He was doing when He made us this way, wouldn't you? And if we're this way, He certainly has made us. It would truly be a boring place without those differences. If everybody was like Bob, it wouldn't be much fun. Believe me, it wouldn't. But for all of our differences, and there are a bunch of them, we're really all the same. Every one of us. Look at verse 25 one more time. He who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. We will all stand before a righteous, holy God one day. Every one of us are the same in that aspect. We're all different. We all come from different places. But we all have to come to the same place. Because there's only one way to the Father. And that's through the Son. And that's the way God has purposed and designed it to be. Was His purpose. Billions of years ago. It wasn't something to happen. He looked down and saw a better way. It was what He planned all along. It was the only way we could be saved. As if He saved us Himself. That's the only way. And in that aspect, every one of us are the same. We are exactly the same. Every one of us stand in need of a Savior. There's not one of us that doesn't. And every one of us one day we'll stand before a holy, righteous God. And as I said earlier in my prayer, those are just words. We cannot comprehend how holy, how righteous He is. It's beyond my comprehension. One day we'll all stand before Him. Won't be a Jew or a Gentile, even a dad or a mom. There will only be those who believed, trusted, and lived by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, and those who didn't. That's all that will be there. Those that came into a relationship with Him, those that came into the plan that He had set up since before time began, and those who rejected it. If you've accepted it, it's hard to understand why anybody would reject it, isn't it? Truly is. But that's all we will be one day. You know, the only way to be the dad or the mom, the husband or the wife that God intends for us to be is to first be in a relationship with Christ. Because all these things Paul talked about and the things he talks about in Ephesians 5 and many other places, no doubt, they all apply to Christians. The best way to be the best dad or the mom that you can be or the one that God has designed you to be is first being in that relationship with Him. Because it's only dependent upon God the Father that we can be the Father that God has designed us to be. Being a dad is tough, isn't it? It's the toughest thing I ever done. It really is. And I've made mistakes at it. I know it's hard to believe. But I have. I've made mistakes. I had a little girl that was just apple of my eye. She had one of those little tank fireworks. I should have went over there with her. I shouldn't have let her pick it up. I should have at least acknowledged that she had a blister about big as a potato on her hand when I was saying she was okay. I've made mistakes. We all have. Can't take credit for the heat light, Jeff. Sorry. But we've all made mistakes. The truth is, the only way we can overcome them is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. The only way I can be a dad or a grandpa or a friend or an uncle or anything that has any influence in anybody else's life is through Jesus Christ. If I will trust and submit and surrender myself to Him, then He will be lifted up in my life. And He makes the difference. He makes the difference in my life. And this is something else that's pretty tough to do as a dad. I have to trust Him to make the difference in theirs. The truth is, He's the only one that can make that difference. He's the only one that can make any of us spend an eternity with God the Father. Jesus Christ. He is the answer to all the world's problems. We're going to have a song of invitation. If God's Spirit has spoke to your heart this morning, then that's exactly what this song is. It's an invitation to come forward. Whatever it is, I mean, it doesn't matter. Christ is big enough to handle it. Even if it's small, it doesn't matter. Even if it's huge, it doesn't matter. His grace is sufficient.